Side Hustle Show 160, turning a service business into a passive income stream.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
What's up? Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. My guest today has all the outward appearances of a normal life. He's got a full-time job as a mechanical engineer. He's got a wife, three kids, a house. But he's also got a pretty cool side business repairing motorcycles in his spare time. Now, we're going to get into how Matt Boknock went about getting clients for that service business, which I think will parallel many other types of service businesses or freelance businesses. But where this side hustle gets exciting is how he's turned that service business into a passive income stream by selling video tutorials to people who want to do their own repairs. It's turned a local business global and a time for money business into a more time leveraged one. Now, people always say, you know, turn your customers' questions into content. And here's a real example of someone doing just that. You can learn more about Matt's operation at chicagolandmotorcyclerepair.com and howtomotorcyclerepair.com. Notes and links for this episode are at SideHustleNation.com/bikes, where you'll also find a free PDF download with all of Matt's top tips from this call. And I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, which is Teachable.com. Teachable makes it easy for experts like Matt to turn their skills and expertise into dollars and cents. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about them after the interview. You can register for their free weekly live training, 7 steps to launch your own online course in the next 30 days at Teachable.com/sidehustle. Ready? Let's do this.
Well, I've been repairing motorcycles since I was a teen. Friends and family were asking me to fix their stuff. And one day when I was like 18 or so, you know, I fixed a few bikes on the side. Nothing ever came of it. And then 10, 15 years later, and back in 2011, I decided to maybe take this a little further. And so I started, you know, the side business, and I just work from my home garage.
Okay, awesome. Did you have any formal like training to work on Harleys or Honda bikes or anything like that? It's just like, hey, look, I love doing this. I know what I'm doing. Bring me your bike.
Yeah, exactly. Just self-taught. I did work at two shops while I was in high school and then shortly after high school before college. And that's pretty much how I learned and gained all the skills that I needed to fix these bikes.
How did you end up getting your first customers?
Craigslist, believe it or not.
Were people posting for, hey, I need help fixing my bike? Or did you like proactively put an ad on there?
No, yeah, I put up an ad in the services section while I was working on my site. The site wasn't quite ready. I said, you know what, let's just put it on Craigslist because I know I'm not going to have a lot of traffic to my site in the very beginning. So I landed my first customer. And then after I started getting a little bit of traffic, I realized I didn't need the Craigslist ad anymore. So I really only had it up there for a few weeks.
So the first people came through Craigslist. What do you remember what your ad said? Like, did it? I love Craigslist ads. It's the same way my wife got started with her photography business. And I was like, nobody's going to be looking for wedding photographers on Craigslist. But it's like, it's such a high traffic site. People are looking for everything on there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was like two sentences. Hey, I do motorcycle repair. I'm honest, reliable, reasonable rates. Here's my number. It was basically that simple. No pictures, nothing.
Okay.
And I just left my cell phone number up there.
That was the other Craigslist ad tip that someone shared on the blog a few months ago. It was like, make sure you include a picture in your ad and bonus points if that picture is an attractive female.
Yeah.
So next time, if you go back and advertise on Craigslist again, you can use that one.
Yeah, I didn't even have any pictures to put up there. So that's why I didn't, you know, I mean, I was just starting out.
So the guy like rolls up, or does he like bring the bike to your shop on the back of the truck? Like, how does that customer interaction go? And you're like, oh, it's just a dude in his garage.
I remember this first customer. He brought it on a trailer because it was an ATV. So he brought it to me, and I was nervous as hell because I'm like, you know, this is someone coming to my house, and you know, here it is. Here's my first customer. You know, so we chit chatted for a little bit. He dropped it off, and then that's it. You know, I worked on it that night.
Yeah, and this is around a 2011 timeframe.
Yeah, it was like actually in October 2011.
How did you end up setting your rates? Did you kind of look at what the shops in the area were charging hourly?
Yeah, shops around here charge anywhere from 80 to 100 an hour. So I figured when I first started, I'll charge 40. Actually, most of the customers never asked how much I was charging. They just said, here's what's wrong, fix it. So I had some time to think about how much I was going to charge, and I got a better idea once I dove into it on how long it was going to take and what I wanted to charge and stuff like that.
Yeah, and moving away from the hourly pricing, I think that's a smart move. So just how much to fix my problem? Make this pain go away.
Right, exactly.
I know somebody's going to ask this, like, are there licensing requirements to run this kind of like industrial shop out of your own home garage?
No, the only thing I did is I set up an LLC and I am insured for garage liability. So, you know, theft, fire, you know, stuff like that. Also, what's important to me is to make sure that when I go for a test ride and I get pulled over by a cop for whatever reason, I have proof of insurance to ride that bike. So I'm covered for all that.
So some nuances to this particular service business.
Right.
Okay, so Craigslist gets the first few customers and then you build the website.
Yes, and it's a very basic website I built it myself. It's on WordPress. I think there's like 7 pages on there.
This is the ChicagolandMotorcycleRepair.com.
Yes.
So kind of a brochure site that says, hey, this is my services, this is what I'm all about. Click here to, you know, inquire today or whatever.
Right, exactly. I got a contact form page. And most of the people, I would say 80, 90% of the people email me through there.
How are people finding the site?
Good question. I think Google Maps is probably the number one referral. So I have a Google Places business location or whatever.
Okay. And they keep changing the name of this. Google Plus for business, Google Places, Google, you know, whatever it is. But it's like Google Plus for specifically for businesses. And you can punch in, is it like because it's at your home? Like, did you just punch in your home address?
See, I'm going to talk about the do's and don'ts of the whole homes. Yeah. But basically, I made the mistake of putting my address on my website and also on Google Places. I have switched it to just Mount Prospect, Illinois or whatever. And then in Google Places, I was able to not display my address and I dragged the pin to the nearest intersection.
So they'll ask for the address, but it's not required to input it.
Yeah. Because since it's at home, you know, you just kind of want to be a little safer. So I just kind of say, hey, I'm around this area.
Yeah, this is the area that I serve. Any other secrets for getting, so you're targeting Chicago motorcycle repair based on the domain? Are you targeting, you know, any other keywords for people to find this thing?
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. When I was setting this all up, I'm like, well, I know that keyword research plays a role into this. I'm like, what's the name going to be? And that's kind of what I ended up with.
And it seems to be working. People are finding the site, Google local. Chicago's a big city to rank any kind of local search. So did you find it was tough to get exposure there?
You know, I don't rank too well, I don't think, if you Google it, but people are finding me and I never really gave it that much thought. I mean, if the people are coming in and I have to decline a lot of work actually. So I never really dug deeper into that, to tell you the truth.
Have you raised your rates since the beginning, or you said you're going more on the project basis?
I try to charge about $50 an hour.
And you're getting this work done either very early in the morning or very late at night?
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't happened too often, but sometimes I'm out in the garage like 4:30 in the morning, 5 in the morning until about 6 o'clock, and I got the baby monitor on. So when my kids wake up, I'm like, oh, it's time to stop working. But mainly in the morning, I work on the other site that we're going to talk about in a second here. But the other time that I get a lot of work done is after 8 p.m. And, you know, the kids are sleeping, the wife's on the couch watching some TV, and I just run out to the garage and work for an hour or two.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking some time out of your work hours this evening to chat with me and to share this with Side Hustle Nation.
It's way too cold to be in the garage tonight, so.
Okay. Any other marketing channels that you found effective for getting traffic to that website to learn about your service?
Yeah. You know how after you set up a website or a Google account or something, Google will send you $100 to spend on AdWords?
Oh, yeah. Like with your hosting account. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, well, why not spend this money? So I set up some simple campaigns. And I remember one job it landed me. This guy from North Carolina called me and he's like, hey, I want to buy this motorcycle on eBay. It's right by you. I need a third party to go and inspect it.
Okay.
I'm like, all right, sure. I'll do it. I'll do it for this much. He's like, okay. So one night I ran out to the location of this bike and inspected it for him, make sure it was exactly what the ad said. And that was basically one job I got from it.
Did you find that it spread from word of mouth after a certain number of projects?
Yeah. I mean, the thing with like people with motorcycles, they all have friends who have motorcycles. So You get one guy in, he's happy with the service, he's happy to spread the word around, and definitely that word of mouth is probably my number one referral.
How have you gone about productizing this or turning this in, you know, from a service business? A lot of people are like, hey, I trade my time for money at my day job. Like, I'm not interested in doing that as a side hustle. I think this is really smart. So tell me how you've gone about kind of productizing this or pacifizing this business. I don't think that's a word, but you know what I mean.
At the time, I was following Ramit Sethi's blog. Mm-hmm. And I saw that he was preaching, you can earn more. Your earning potential is limitless, right? So I'm like, how can I make more off of this, you know? So I put another Craigslist ad up for coaching. I'll fix your bike. You can watch me. I'll charge you $80 an hour. Well, that flopped. So I'm like, all right, well, what else can I do? So I figured, you know, what if I can show people how to fix motorcycles and write some articles and do some videos and stuff like that? So on my Chicagoland motorcycle repair site, I wrote two blog posts, and it basically goes through how to do something, some kind of repair or whatever. And then I'm like, why would I advertise a service to fix bikes, but yet show them how to do it? I'm like, that those two don't mesh. So I kind of branched off and started a new site called howtomotorcyclerepair.com. And that site is all about videos, articles, images on just how to fix your bike step by step. So what I started doing is I would use the customer's bike that I would get from the service site. I would videotape the repair while making money off the labor. And then I would go and edit these videos and put them up on my YouTube channel and the howtomotorcyclerepair.com site.
Kind of two separate businesses targeting the same customer or targeting similar customers, the DIY people at How To Motorcycle Repair, and then the people who just want somebody else to do it for them at Chicagoland Motorcycle Repair. Talk to me about YouTube, because I'm looking at your account, 14,000 subscribers for someone who does very little with video. That seems really impressive. Like, that's a ton, 3 million lifetime views. What's the secret sauce to YouTube?
Well, think about it. Something as technical as taking some apart and putting it back together, I think video is the way to go. I mean, there's just no other way to do it, I think. You know, I mean, growing up as a kid, I read a ton of service manuals, and I found that, you know, they skip some steps. I mean, they just go from one paragraph, an image, and to the next, and it's like, whoa, what happened here? You know, so I think with video, there's, if you go step by step, you can't hide anything, and it's very clear to the person making that repair.
So you're writing or doing these videos, and you're kind of like saying, you know, very specific titles. Here's how to fix, you know, blank problem on blank bike.
Right.
Because it's a video, like, that just naturally shows up. Like, nobody else is doing those type of videos, so they show up very well in search.
Yeah, I guess the thing that the service site does is a specific problem comes in, and I have a specific video to solve that problem. So other people out there with that problem are probably searching for those keywords. You know what I mean? So I think it's just easy to rank for this stuff.
We would see the same thing at Ford, right? You know, you'd start to recognize patterns like, oh, you know, what year vehicle? Oh, okay. I have an idea of what's going on over here.
Yeah. And, you know, when these bikes come in for service, that specific problem is so common that like my best viewed videos, it's like, it's amazing what these people comment. Oh yeah, I have the same issue with mine. Thanks for posting this video. So, I mean, it's just, I don't know. It works out real nice.
Are you monetizing the YouTube channel with advertising or what?
Unfortunately, no. When I started the howtomotorcyclerepair.com site, I set up an AdSense account because you need that for Google Ads and the Google Ads on YouTube. Well, my account got canceled shortly after I set it up. And this was right in 2012. And I think that was the year where a lot of people got their accounts canceled for whatever reason. So I appealed it several times and I never got anywhere. And that just still chaps my ass to this day. I don't know why Google won't let me have that account, but for whatever reason, I'm not monetizing on the videos.
Doing all the trouble to film and edit and post these videos, how's that funnel into the business?
Are we getting into video sales now?
Let's do it.
So then I'm like, well, how can I monetize this content? You know, another thing I tried doing is I set up an account with Commission Junction. I really didn't make much. I mean, I put up all the affiliate links and everything, and I think in the first year or so, I made like $100. I was like, well, this isn't working
like
too well.
For parts retailers, you link those up in the video descriptions.
Yeah. So the idea was, okay, I got this blog post with the video some text, and here are the affiliate links to buy those parts to help you fix your bike. And they just weren't converting well. I didn't really like the dashboard or how it was integrated through CJ. I'm now an Amazon affiliate, and that's much better. But anyway, I looked further into how I can monetize this, and I just decided to sell the videos through Gumroad. And that's been the best thing for me. And what I like to do is sell the videos that are like 3 hours long, really advanced, and I know that people are searching for this content.
I think that's a really good idea. A couple questions on this front. First would be, how do you balance the content that you put out on YouTube for free versus what you put behind the Gumroad paywall?
You know, a lot of the free videos are quick tips. Maybe they're only 10 or 20 minutes long, but the ones that I sell are like three and a half hours long, and it'll go like through the whole process of, for example, rebuilding an engine or rebuilding your carburetors. A lot of the free content I give away will just be snippets of such projects.
Do the specific snippets lead to certain like paid videos, or is it kind of separate?
Yeah. So let's say I wanted to sell a full engine rebuild video for that model, but I also had 10 little videos that would be on that model, like an oil change or tightening the chain or whatever. I try to put annotation links on all those videos to funnel into the main video that I want to sell.
Okay, tell me about annotation links. I don't know that I've ever used those on YouTube. How do they work?
If you go into the editor in YouTube, I forget which button it is, but I think it's annotations. You can put a text link. Hey, click here for the full rebuild video. Check it out.
Okay, and that links to YouTube, or that can link to your own site?
I can do either or. I mean, I'm an approved website through YouTube, so I can do it either way.
Oh, okay. Shoot, that's really cool.
Yeah, and actually with Gumroad, you can put an annotation link directly to the sales page, because now YouTube has approved Gumroad as a merchant link.
Oh, okay.
A strategy I have for selling videos is putting like a nice sample up on YouTube and then linking out to the sales page.
Okay, so the video is kind of like the teaser of the full 3 hour video. On the Gumroad sales page, are you allowed to embed video there, or like, you know, a trailer video there?
Yeah, actually you can. I normally just do images, because at that point they've already seen the sample, so I haven't really experimented with that too much.
Okay, next question I have is, hey, you know, 3 hours of content. This obviously took you a ton of time to film and edit. How do you figure out how much to charge for that?
You know, when I first started, or my first video that I priced, I decided on $14. And that was based off, I saw DVDs for sale for $25 or $30. And I'm like, well, I'll charge half. And that was just an arbitrary number that I picked. So that's what I figured. And then I've since then raised prices.
How many of these are you, it is all digital download?
Yeah, digital download, or I can set them up as streaming. So when the customer buys it, they get an email and they automatically can start watching it. So what's nice about that is it's maintenance free for me.
Yeah, it's passive income. I already created this asset.
Exactly.
That's really cool. How many of these things are you selling every month?
Yeah, so I'm making about $500 to $600 a month selling videos. So about 30 sales.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks. And just to give you a number on the service side, I'm averaging about $400 a month in service. So the best thing is that my video sales have exceeded my service income. I mean, I'm beating it every month, which is nice.
Yeah, and every new bike that comes in is new free content for you to turn into a video.
Yeah, exactly.
What's next for this? Do you see an opportunity to make the video sales, you know, blow up even further?
Yeah, I really don't know. But what I actually started at the beginning of this year is on my how-to site is two services, engine rebuilding and carburetor rebuilding plus video. So what that means is if you want your project videotaped, that's an extra perk I can provide free of charge. And what that's going to do for me is I'm going to get free content. I'm going to get paid to rebuild it. And then hopefully this will be a video that I can later then sell on my site.
Okay. Like somebody would pay for that just to watch your work? Why would somebody pay for that?
They're going to pay to have their engine rebuilt anyway. And my pricing is more competitive than the guy down the street. But at the same time, they're going to get a video and I'm going to hopefully sell the video.
And now you're reaching customers not just in Chicago, but all over the country, all over the world that have these brands of bikes.
Exactly, because services like that do exist, and people do mail their engine to shops and have it repaired. So I figured, why not offer that service, and then hopefully I can build my video library off that.
Yeah, it sounds like as the library grows, the Gumroad sales or the video sales will continue to increase along that path.
Yeah, and something else I'd like to do is I got a book idea in mind, so I'd like to that would incorporate text, images, and somehow get videos in there. I'm not sure if that format's out there, but
I'm sure it's coming soon. I think the newer versions of Kindle will probably, if they don't have that feature already, they probably will soon.
Yeah, just like an interactive book, you know what I mean? Another thing, maybe I can develop a course. You know, all my videos are very niche, and I probably need to step back and make a more general product that everyone that has a motorcycle would want to buy.
Okay.
Don't know what that product is, but, you know, I'm definitely searching for it, you know?
Yeah, your third piece of the, you know, proverbial three-tiered pricing thing is going to be, you know, with the low-end offering, and then the, you know, the video, maybe the video is the low-end offering. The middle is like, I'm going to do it for you. And then, you know, what's at the top of that pyramid of, you know, super high value, super high touch.
Right.
Well, Matt, this is pretty eye-opening stuff. I think a cool case study in something I'm interested in doing in my spare time anyways. Here's a way to get paid for it. And by the way, here's a way to get paid twice for the same work. So I think that's, or get paid, you know, create this content once, get paid for it over and over again.
Yeah. And I mean, you can apply this business model to anything. I mean, fixing computers, dog training, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you get customers, find a way to monetize it passively.
There's two different paths that a lot of this goes, you know, is I'm going to figure out how to use my skill, and then I'm going to, you know, productize it as you have. But a lot of times it ends up kind of facing the other way. It's facing towards other people who want to do what you did. But I think it's cool to target the same type of customer, same niche of customers in a unique way. Thank you so much for joining me. I know this was a short and sweet one. So everyone, you can check Matt out at Chicagoland Motorcycle Repair. And then for the passive income business, it's howtomotorcyclerepair.com. And Matt, we'll wrap it up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Oh man, it's a quote that I see every day when I pick up my son from preschool. The quote is, "The expert in anything was once a beginner."
I love it. So true.
Yeah. I mean, if I look back 20 years, I was just starting off, and now look what this developed to, you know, or when I pick up my four-year-old from school, you know, these kids are learning everything, you know, they have everything to learn and look forward to.
That's very cool, Matt. Thank you so much for joining me, and we'll catch up with you soon.
All right. Thanks for having me.
So that's pretty sweet, right? Matt is, who's a listener of the show, is earning $800, $1,000 a month with his side business and scaling up the portion that doesn't directly involve his time. I think as this thing progresses, those assets that he's building will just continue to serve him for years down the road. And I really like how he shared some of his trials and missteps during in the process of turning the service business into a little bit more of a passive operation before finding something that works, selling those video tutorials. And after the call, Matt, since we kind of went quick and dirty interview, he sent me some do's and don'ts. He sent me some bullet points of some other tips. I want to share those really quick because I think there's some valuable stuff in there. First on his list of do's was to add a customer review section on his site for testimonials and to Google Places. I think Google Places is really important for local search. Also Yelp. He says make sure to add, you know, your Google Places or Google Local, whatever it's called these days. You don't have to show your address. You can show a general service area or an intersection like he talked about, dragging the pin to the center of his little town. He talked about attending events like motorcycle clubs and other kind of organizations locally where his target customers might be hanging out. And beyond that, targeting a affluent customer, those ones who are spending money on more expensive bikes and can afford to spend money on repairs. He said specifically, like, I don't repair scooters. Those customers, are cheap in his words, not mine. So I like kind of like, he's like, hey, you know, picking who you serve as part of it. And he talks about giving a personalized service, sending pictures and updates to the customer and giving them like a full recap of what's going on. And he talks about you know, in all the years I've been doing this, he's only had one person try to negotiate, to which he said no. And he's like, I just keep kind of bumping up my rates bit by bit. On his list of don'ts, he says, don't get business cards. I've never had them and never have needed them. He says that's a wantrepreneur move. And for a business like this, I probably agree with that. He says, don't put your cell phone on there. He says, I use Google Voice, and you know, the voicemail gives a pretty good transcript for that. The other tips that he's got is that a lot of this business, we kind of talked about this, comes from word of mouth. Bikers have friends who are bikers, and they're really happy to say, I got a guy. Hey, I know I've got my go-to person to take care of this for me. And this kind of reminds me of a show I heard, you know, a couple years back on freelancing. It's like the only reason somebody is on Upwork or Elance or Guru.com or Freelancer.com is because they don't have a guy. They don't have that go-to person or girl to get whatever they need done. And, you know, here's your chance to be that person. And you never know who they know. If you can work your way into that person's network, like every... Think about it that way. Like every job you do is not necessarily one customer. It's that customer plus everybody else they know, potentially, if you do a really good job. On the tech side, Matt said, hey, I started with a $40 refurbished flip cam, a $30 tripod, and a $300 laptop, and the free video editing software, Windows Movie Maker. Same video editing software that I've used for my videos. And he says, my best-selling video was originally put up for free on YouTube. He's like, I just removed part of it and then put it up for sale. It says that YouTube, to reiterate that YouTube sample strategy was to put up a nice sample and just don't give away the whole meat and potatoes of it, and use those annotation links, you know, to your website or to now Gumroad directly. Now, I want you to think about how you could apply Matt's tips to your own service business. I think there's a lot of parallels here that that we can all kind of work on and work from. Now, he mentioned his next step may be to create a course that appeals to all motorcycle owners. And of course, one tool to get that done would be Teachable.com, who's the sponsor for this week's episode. Teachable makes it easy for experts like Matt to create, upload, and sell educational content in their areas of expertise. And in fact, that's kind of a common theme on the Side Hustle Show, right? You know, offer some service or do something cool and then turn around and teach how you did it. Like we heard from John Hawes in episode 153, how he's earning several thousand dollars a month teaching medication info to nursing students. And we've even had the founder of Teachable, Ankur Nagpal, on the show last year talking about course creation best practices. And I think that 10,000 foot view of the best practices, where Teachable has identified some common success factors from their 5,000 plus instructors. Now, each week, Ryan from Teachable hosts a free live training on the 7 steps to launch your own online course in the next 30 days. And you can register for free for that at teachable.com/sidehustle. And he's been known to give out some cool prizes to attendees. So be sure to grab your spot at teachable.com/sidehustle. Now, if Matt's strategies sound like something you could implement in your own niche, be sure to grab the free PDF highlight reel with all his top tips from this conversation at sidehustlenation.com/bikes or through the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. Thank you guys so much for listening. I've got some fun and actionable episodes coming up, but until then, let's go out there, make something happen, and I'll catch you in the next edition of the Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.